Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Pod Information Report number perhaps 14 or 15, and Podimation is basically a term referred to bespoke software development, which automates the process of podcasting and sets it up to take it beyond. Now this is basically co-opting available open source software, putting it in an environment such that you record your podcast, then stick it in, and it takes it in, puts in, you know, several podcasts in the magazine, so to speak, ready to go. And each one you can select a podcast which is similar to it. It overwrites it. So coming up in that vein is that if you've got podcast 15, it will overwrite it with automatically supporting 16. I still haven't done that. But it's up to the stage of where it does now happen before you stick your USB and has to hit a button. Now you stick your USB and the computer can even be asleep. And this program will be running in background. Pick up what the problem is, pick it up, and even if the computer is asleep, it will whisk your voice recording off and store it safely away on the computer at much higher speed access. Then there's a series of things where it adds artwork, compresses it, and you have to put a little bit of information describing what the title is, and some support information about it. And when that goes through, it largely publishes it to the internet. So it does email it to Blogger, and Blogger then automatically publishes it as a blog, so that's automated. The next step, to be picked up as a feed. I still have to open it up and attach the attachment and connect it to FeedBurner, or connect it, put a tag on it. It's something that people who are doing podcasting will be aware of this stage. Well, I suppose the issue with this is how important it is to clean up that last little bit. I don't know. And you get some feedback then on the number of subscribers for that channel. Then, when you've got a series of podcasts with the same title in a series, like it may take many podcasts, it looks as though it's going to take me about 10 podcasts to get through this recent textbook, you then have the actual data on the podcast together, and it recollects it by hello. This lady's looking around, looking at this mad person podcasting. So I'm have to look. The overarching story is rehabilitations of cognitive and physical. So I have to combine the two, in actual fact, of going for walks and also the cognitive aspect of them. I suppose I can divide the two and I'll get some advice on the best way to go. Pretty soon I've got some professional people looking in detail about what the obstacle I have to clear, what my capacity is, sort of link those two things up. But in the meantime, I've been looking at the general direction of having to publish podcasts and treating it as a problem for cognitive development, and this in terms of solving computer programs, writing up computer programs. they actually work reliably and efficiently. And I'm nearly up there. I'm got to make it bulletproof such that so the hard drive could be fried. I could lose everything and it's stored in the cloud. I can quickly rebuild it. I'm in that sort of danger zone with some of the assets, software assets distributed along next to the computer. I haven't actually bought it all together. So when I say that, when you download a software library, you don't know whether you're going to use it. And you leave it in an area, and you have to point to that asset library to run that group of commands. You know, there. So, sort of like, I don't know, getting a house circuit working. Just look at your toolboxes and test experiment around. You want to check. It's also okay with the customer before you wrap everything up and take it away. Now, this is associated with the, so for each podcast, I want to make a increasingly complex and graded multiple choice and word search, which is okay. But one of the things, obviously, one would want to do is have a podcast version of a multiple choice. And you don't want to, so like you want to replay the entire thing where there's an introduction, you just say the question, and then it, the computer randomizes A, B, or C, and it puts it all together. So there's a great overhead in actually producing an audio multiple choice, but I suppose in order to get sort of randomized, so I'll say, what is the age of the universe in billions of years? 5 billion years old? A, 5 billion years old? C, 10 billion years old? Oh, ever so much. And then produces the answer. So let's get the timing and everything right. You really need some software to re-edit your language such as presented smoothly and confidently every time, and that the A, B, C, and D can be randomized multiple times. So it's an audio one, and basically it's a whole series of things. Can you put bookmarks in your MP3, which are navigatable by your pause button? You're driving along, you people drive along, and I still can't quite see how to do it. I can see how to, so this is the next level. Obviously, I've got the assets, and the assets get automatically managed, published, and then when I build together as a little app library. So if you imagine not just one app, but you know, 20, 30 apps being generated at high speed, fractions of a second, then published to a website. This and this mathematics which folds it up sort of like a puzzle, so to speak, going through, so it allows you to do it. So that's all under control. And this bespeaks sort of the generalized gap, which is sort of the seen from the outside, it's a researcher's problem. Seen from the inside, it's a researcher's delight. And that is where you've worked out the solution, you've developed the solution, but not everyone can see it's the solution. So you get to potter away, slowly building it until the solution strikes people can just see it. So at the moment, the overarching solution is this new app language. You press the apps, and I've automated it up. Now, I'm sort of 50% of the way. I've been able to get multiple little podcasts together to stitch it together. There's a little bit of engineering together, but by and large, it's fairly. I've sort of recorded it. It's about 5 minutes to put a series of podcasts together in a series, and there's people who want to go back and edit the various things, and there is capacity to edit. Just have to, I suppose have to think about it. But I am looking at in these long podcasts. There's obviously key points at which you want to pause, and the multiple choice one. It would be good if it's a audio slide version of it, sort of to marry the two together. And it's just a bit of a tooth puller to marry the two things up. So what I would like to do is have an audio podcast where you give the answer. Ideally, it records what your answer, but that's not possible. The technology in people's hands really is simple replay devices. So I'm planning down the track. Down one line, a podcast for multiple choice. And I've just got to really think about how that's delivered as a sort of a form of a quiz. I may actually sit a podcast quiz under actually no the actual quiz. You can do a standard quiz or a podcast quiz. I can sort of see where to place it and to construct it and place it up and make it accessible. So it's all fairly logical where it can go. So I can get that there. But then there's the overall that as you do something, you tend to research it. And researching it, I can sort of see using the site, this is for me, software from, I think it's Harvard University, citation engine. So you can cite where you've searched and where you've got particular information at, but it's sort of, it's a bit sticky. It still doesn't really cross-link doing it. But as I sort of read into things, I read things, and there's some things that are just so appalling, you just have to put it down. This is just so bad, you've got to put it down. So the really bad things for me, the this book called Mindfulness from the Harvard Business School. I thought, oh, people want to do it. And it was just appalling. I can't describe, unspeakably appalling. So if you wanted to make a point, you'd say, we've done research and our research shows, sort of like, oh, give me a break. Sort of like that is almost incompatible with actually a genuine research-based advanced process. You're like, it's one thing you can't actually put into a top-end research-based learning tool is really poor quality stuff, that pop science that you read. But it begs the overall question that obviously for a particular thing, like I'm just doing Jules Encyclopedia of the Earth, and it's not rocket science. I've seen it from before. See how we're going here. So I've got to get to a particular position at a particular time. There is, like, it's now well analysed the sort of shortcomings of the way we describe where the earth is and how it relates to education. And really that's building towards a publication in progress. And I suppose what I really need is an app which for that particular thing opens up a particular publication in progress where I can sort of start to work on it. So I just have to really think how it's going. The overall issue is that the objective is to get quality, quantity and slickness up here against a background where people aren't necessarily educated consumers. Yeah, essentially, we have people selling education, but they're not educated consumers. They can't see limitations or quality problems. And I don't think there's much of a market for going through old textbooks and criticizing them. You really have to do is learn from them and build a good footprint to go forward. And this speaks to a problem that in so many issues you can build a sound argument of okay. Oh dear. A little shop I rather like to shut down. There's a walking past. There's a little shop in the back here, which basically sold cinnamon toast milkshakes. And, never had any customers in it. And I sort of loved it. And it's unfortunately shut down before I take anyone to it. Yeah, look, the overall problem is getting a path to developing advanced education. And look, there is a benefit in having this automation because it reduces your workload and getting out the standard quality stuff, which isn't necessarily, not everyone's liking. So it's sort of like, I don't know, I think it's sort of like the Rolex watch of explanations. And you can really focus on making a better Rolex watch, but in fact what I've done is I've reduced an automatic station which just pumps them out, churns them out, put in the product, churns it out. And so that's been my real focus. And of course, the real focus in quality is that if you're going to automate it, you may as well automate it such as producing high level stuff. But it bespeaks an overall problem of not people aren't really connected to the quality that they read. So I've just read the sports minister's sort of 37 pages of dense waffle. Yeah, I have to say it's waffle. Contradictory, light on content, light on executables. A sort of bizarre, eclectic mix of basically, if you had to draw a sort of a line between old style Renaissance rhetoric and disinterested scientific analysis, well, it's way up on that rhetoric end. And so when you analyze problems with it, it's not the overall problems that the actual words don't make sense and stuff like that. It's actually a deeper issue. And again, I can do the engine podcast it up, but there's this overall view that nothing's happening. And I do a few, I suppose, quick exercises to sort of think through some of the answers associated with it. And so what's happening is that our resource managers and visionaries, people are getting there, have sort of got themselves hooked up into a waffle, second-rate waffle going into them. Of course, we then turn around and get angry at them and they lose their cool. So I'm just thinking of the actual sports thing. There's actually nothing lost by actually saying, look, can you account of it? Can you possibly think of something better than what's presented here? Not because I think you've done something worse, but wouldn't it be a great benefit if we together got into something beneficial? So what's happening is that second best has got its snouts in the trough, it's not worth getting into the trough. It's to build some sort of other function in which the advanced ideas flow. So I'm looking at people going through the apps at the moment and sort of cleaning up spelling mistakes, sort of just the low key stuff that it's like when you're setting up your car and you've just tuned it up and it's just spluttered and turning over and it's just producing really, rich exhaust. You can smell the petrol coming out. But at least it's turning over. So in terms of the podcast engine, yes, there are spelling mistakes and errors and things which would jar the astute user. But there are no astute users. That's because it's too many steps ahead for the average person to know. And I really have to get into a zone of production of key documents, which eventually can go to publication, supported by broad review. And and it's being able to, I suppose, get a table up of textbook publication, ISBNs of all the key data, with which you can track it down, and then faults, and then sort of like a chart, you're selecting a product development. So this is really a technical marketing job. So this essentially getting the right idea across is a very narrow industry. It's got massive implications, similar to photonic optical fiber components. A country which has got better components in its backbone is doing fine, but you won't sell those components to people by saying by the advantage. You've got to actually sell, market to the producers of these components, and so to a certain extent you have to go through the process of a realistic field trial of preparing to teach at a high level. But essentially I have to get these publication and progress things, and I never really think how to manage that. And that is a publication in progress should have all the qualities for publication and feedback, but it's available for all to read as you go through the app, you listen to the podcast and stuff like that. And then I'll eventually get it up. It's not going to be that hard, and it's probably a better mezzanine development. So essentially the podcast engine, by adding music and several podcasts together and closing music, publishing it, is the same essential engine to produce a multiple choice question. So I've got to think about how it does that. And I really do think that to reduce audio multiple choice questions which are bespoke. Essentially, I'm going to have to go server side and install the software code up in a server. I can do sort of a mimicry of it. So essentially, you can do sort of fake PHP server side software installation in your home PC by avoiding the internet entirely by email. You know, email is a way that you can email, it can email content in and be parsed and taken off and then published off. So if someone wants a multiple choice, audio multiple choice, produced to listen to on the way through, so say if you had listened to a topic, you studied it, and you're driving along, you can play the actual multiple choices. What I don't quite understand is basically how you can get it to automatically pause and wait for you to keep on playing. I suppose it's the way to do it is have, you know, 50 million tracks. So you have to, it comes to one track and pushes forward. I don't know quite how that is actually done. I'm just thinking ahead. And so this is the whole aim, that at any one point there's sort of the shortest distance to mass exposure, and at what point, and so the overall thing is to survive eventual return to work, and when that happens, all stops will be out. So all aids that I have, oh bloody hell, I think most of these aren't free. It looks as though these are huge German shepherds. They look like wolves, don't they? It looks as though they're just free, but there's actually a very thin black wire fence stopping you being eaten alive. Yeah, so look, the deal is that I may not survive return. That was of all the stuff I've built up to support myself. They'll say, oh no, you can't do that. They can't do that. So obviously you just rock up. Not saying much, doing it. But I still may be knocked out. So I've got to look for the long game, because if I do get knocked out, it may, you know, the odds are is that there's sufficient problems anyway that I'll be in a position to pick myself up and dust myself on. So I've got a very philosophical, professional approach. So a podcast per lesson, multiple choice word search, and so there's a small amount of work to the finishing touches of engineering on the Podomation. That is something I've sort of put in the asleep a little bit. So the actual structure is there. I've sort of woken it up half. Like, if you imagine very early on, I could only podcast for 5 minutes, so each podcast would be 5 minutes long. And that meant that I had to restitch these podcasts together. And restitching them together is easy enough to do, but to actually select the series of podcasts that you want to stitch together is a thing. So I've set that up, and then when I didn't need it, I put it aside to the develop later category. And so once I've sort of done 70% of the work for it, so it can now take an array of podcasts. Stitch them together. I just have to now be able to send the array to it, and set it up, send the array, and I suppose to manage the naming of it. Yeah, I just have to really, really sort of concentrate and get that going in my head, because I really have to guard against assuming I've got the full cognitive capacity to remember everything I've got to. So it's a good having to program back from, look after the basics and not rely on too heavily on second sense of what to do, to actually have to write everything out sequential. There's the next thing coming up, and it's this hard yard, hard slog, but I think this is something which will eventually get there, and this is rather than a bespoke publication. So what would happen is that I'd come up against a dissonance, something incorrectly taught in the HSC, not be able to change it, but then be able to research it. So it's bespoke problem research. Or I'd come against someone like Michael Faraday, who requires a lot of research to explain and integrate, which is, as far as consumers are concerned, they can say, oh, I don't like this publication, everyone can publish and stuff like that. So what I've got to do is actually get a coupled publication and lesson plan forward, sort of a publication on the basics of quantum mechanics. So all these multiple podcasts can point back to the same automation, the same publication in progress. Beep. Then I have to have an array of pips, which are managed in my software, even though it's attempted to move over to Google Docs and manage the publication of them. And I think formal publication is a way of actually integrating and linking with universities. Nonetheless, this is all background mechanical work. I still can't quite understand why we're teaching and publishing rubbish in the first place. That's beyond me, and it's something I probably will never be able to fully answer. I don't think what happens is that we do things wrong for a while, and that becomes sort of celebrated in the past, sort of becomes merged into the culture, and that ability to see that we're doing things wrong puts you in direct conflict with the paradigm in residence. And the entire aspect of it is to recognize it and to bring in skill sets to get you over. But at the moment, the uptake of skills, I just don't have the skills to bring in the skill sets to help me. But if I produce publications for things, so it's, if we go right up into this thing, there's a general problem of how do we teach a range of scales and a range of timelines, and how do we manage it and handle it in a coherent way such that we can access it for it. So there's a scale theme, there's a sort of generic bigger thing, and to in the app, as we're going through it, people may want to hear the app or hear the podcast or read the publication. The publication is bloody hard. I tell you, it takes hours and hours to do it. And I guess I can exercise a bit while podcasting, but publications are going to be a bloody nightmare to get through. Now, the issue is that as I pick up problems, say, this sports 2030. It's just the sheer self-consistence. No, just within the document itself, the self-consistent madness. But certain probes that madness has been armored plated with people to defend off questioning of it. So the actual madness is like a virus which has got the antibodies on the outside. You can't move it, and it's not going to be a worthwhile process engaging in it. It's developing the next generation technology. It's the next footprint to move forward. As this is basically the theory of leadership by leading, by I don't know what this is. I'm walking directly up on a back road. It's a fairly heavy truck going forward. Yeah, the fundamental thesis is with all of this is to acknowledge you can't lead and can't get ahead by fighting a system or fighting people in bad faith. There are like two reasons for just really extending yourself and trying to see what you can program, what you can innovate, how far you can actually go, is that doing it extends yourself and you win that way, even if you fail. And there's an added benefit is that you've got two opportunities winning. You can win directly, i.e. people all listen to podcasts, they all like it. It's all that fairy land, which is what you think when you start off a podcast. You say, well, this podcast, bloody hell, this one will make a difference, surely. But it doesn't. And that was within there. It actually moves your thinking along and expression along. So there's sort of direct rehab from actually stretching yourself and doing it. And there's indirect stuff from not succeeding but being in a position to do the next stage. It is classic rehab, and I can see sort of three areas of automation. One is to get the fragmented podcast across, the placing a full album up. I just have to think how that's done. And finally, the underlying concept of a publication in progress. So to start off with, sort of a little bit hard. It looks, and the bottom line is, unlike universities where you worry about people ripping off your ideas, there's no worries. And unlike universities where we see a manuscript with a few damn mistakes and you've got to hide it, yeah, no worries. It's part of the it's with all these things you are stepping outside some boundaries, no matter what you do, in just certain groups. It's just part of the territory. So I'm stepping outside the boundary by actually podcasting and building software. That's in one area, which is totally inside the boundary of what research scientists do. But getting these half-baked manuscripts out for general review, I don't know. It's where you're at. That's outside other boundaries. And I don't want to make too much of a about being outside boundaries, but you've got to be aware of it. Now I've completed this walk. Look, absolute gold star, gold medal to the surgeons who've rebuilt my heart. Isn't that fantastic? Doing this with no probs, doing that walk with no probs, being able to go ahead, and hopefully I'll go buy the right food for dinner tonight and get everything on the table, get everything working sweet as they say. Thanks a lot for listening. That's a long publication. This is the other advantage, is telling me how long I take to actually walk through the back streets. Obviously not direct from Glenbrook up to Black's Land. That's taken me 40 minutes and 33 seconds. Now you're hearing the traffic lights of the train. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.